When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As soon as that clock starts, your ass is mine.
When I met Justin Herbert, man, that dude is big as hell.
Yeah, the goal is to just keep it rolling.
We'll come in hype, because we have a lot of things to be excited about.
All right, guys, we are back with another Bolt Insight, and we are super lucky to have the man himself, Chris Hayre, here with us today. How's it going, Chris?
Hey, man, it's always a pleasure talking to you guys. Things are good. Things are about to get crazy here with the draft, and we're just right in the middle of it with free agency and having our new coach and a new staff. It's just, there's so much content during this time. Usually when you're coming off a winning season or you don't have much turnover on your coaching staff, it's a little quieter. But couple that with having the fifth overall pick, which, you know, you could argue is the number one overall pick if four quarterbacks go in the first four picks. So just a lot to discuss, no doubt.
No, for sure. And last time we talked to you, we had a different head coach, a different front office, a different everything. Very different. So, like, what are your kind of, you know, opinions on, because you're a little more close to it than all of us. What are your kind of thoughts from inside the building on kind of what's happening to our team and the organization right now?
Well, it's a new regime. It's a new regime, which means it's a new culture, and it's a new approach to trying to win football games. And I feel the struggle of Chargers fans. Like, you're so excited that Jim Harbaugh's the head coach now, and he's, you know, many would think is the missing link to getting a Lombardi. But with that comes turnover and comes decisions that need to be made. And, you know, Joe Ortiz and Jim Harbaugh knew coming into this, like, they inherited this cap situation where two of those big four had to go. Now, we thought that maybe it'd be one wide receiver and one edge rusher, but the way that it shook out with Joey and Khalil restructuring, and then, you know, Keenan moving on to Chicago, being able to keep his full salary in tow, and Mike obviously had a big cap number coming off an injury. So this is what the roster is right now, and I think that Joe Ortiz and Jim Harbaugh are just fine with where they're at. There's an identity that they want to establish. You heard April 2nd from Jim Harbaugh in his meetings down in Orlando. So he wants to get his hands on these players. And I just think that this approach and this new culture, like, you have to understand that, like, this team wasn't close to winning a Lombardi. Now it's time to get cap compliant, get cap healthy, and start competing this year, but not just 2024. I mean, you want to make sure that this team is set up to succeed in years to come with Justin Herbert as your franchise quarterback, making the franchise quarterback money that he is.
Yeah, for sure. And what was interesting as a fan, you know, like, we all kind of prepared ourselves for, like, the big four. Like, I was kind of prepared for the other three, you know, when it came to Khalil, Joey, and Mike. I was like, okay, there's a good chance those guys are going to not be back with us. But the curveball came, and it was Keenan. And now having time to kind of absorb it and deal with it, it makes sense, because they're a fresh eyes, are able to pull the Band-Aid and not have that emotional connection we do as fans. What do you think that was like for them to have to pull that Band-Aid and let Keenan, trade Keenan to Chicago?
I'm sure it wasn't easy, but you cannot put any emotion into making decisions that are in the best interest of the football team moving forward. Now, you could argue, hey, the best interest of the football team is to keep Keenan Allen. Well, the cap number, it was a big factor, right? And, you know, Jim Harbaugh said as much in his meeting down in Orlando that, hey, this is a very transparent business, right? And, you know, if you want to keep that money, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for us to do that, you know? So they were able to find a willing partner to take on the money, get a fourth round pick. And that's what I think is confusing maybe to some people is, you only got a fourth round pick for Keenan. No, you got $23 million off your books to spend at other positions while accruing a fourth round pick. So yes, of course, Jim Harbaugh name checked Keenan Allen multiple times at the beginning of the season. Like, he wanted to win with Keenan Allen. But business and football are completely separate. And you have to understand what Joe Ortiz is tasked with and what he inherited and what he was able to do during the beginning of free agency. He was able to get Khalil and Joey to restructure. Mike's cap number was very big for somebody coming off an ACL injury. And, you know, Keenan was that last piece. And, you know, Keenan didn't want to take a pay cut. And I see both sides. If I'm Keenan Allen, I had 108 catches and I didn't play the last three games of the year. Like, yeah, but you're coming off your best year. You don't want to take a pay cut. You don't want to hear that. But that's the emotional part of this, that the new regime, they can't make decisions on emotion. You know, it's about the cap being healthy. It's about the team being able to compete, not only in 2024, but in all the years that Justin Herbert is making this money as the franchise quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm glad we trust them. Whatever they want to do, I'm all in, and I'm excited for that. And it was interesting because we just had an interview with Harbaugh after all this stuff happened. And man, he is so chock full of fun quotes, and like everything he says is ridiculous. How is that for you as a broadcaster, journalist for the Chargers? You're going to get to talk to this guy. Like, what is that like to have a coach that's so exciting and what he's going to say, being able to work with him in that capacity?
Well, I tell you what, I know that, you know, just doing what we do at KCAL and, you know, being partners with the Chargers, it's been so fun to have that access. But now you add Jim Harbaugh on top of it, and it's just like, man, it's yeah. It's unbelievable. He's entertaining, he's informative, and he keeps you on the edge of your seat. You don't know what he's going to say next. So yeah. Like that 35 minutes that the Chargers posted, it felt like 15 to me just listening to it, because like yeah. You're hanging on everything he says. You're trying to glean information, and sometimes he's not saying much, and you know, you're yeah. Like, well, what does that mean? And you know,
exactly.
So, like, it's just a blast. It's a blast. It's you know, I go back to what you said earlier, is like, we trust Jim and Joe Ortiz. You have to trust them, because, you know, what has happened over the last 5 years did not equate to success in January and eventually hoisting the Lombardi. Jim Harbaugh's done it at every level, yeah. You know, so why not trust them? Just because the characters in the movie are going to look different doesn't mean it's not going to work. Like, I use this example just with money on Chargers Weekly. After we talked about Keenan moving on, and like, you know, everyone talking about Justin and his numbers, and like how, you know, you don't have any weapons for Justin. And first of all, it's March still, and the wide receiver room is not going to look like what it does in March, right? You don't play these games in March. But secondly, just think about that Jacksonville game in the playoffs, right? You're up 27-0 in that game. Do you think a Jim Harbaugh run heavy in the second half team loses that game?
No way.
There's no chance. And who was in that game? Mike Williams wasn't. Austin Ekeler averaged 2.7 yards a carry in that game. Keenan Allen had 6 catches for 61 yards. And I know I'm distilling it down to one game, but it's a pretty important playoff game.
Yeah.
Keenan has done unbelievable throughout his entire career from San Diego to Los Angeles. And, you know, some of these games have been epic, and he's done everything he could to help this team win. But at the same time, Jim Harbaugh, give him a shot to build this team in his image, because we've seen the results of that at every stop he's been to, and it's always led to success.
Yeah, we got to trust him, and we're going to be filling this team up with a lot of new players. And you know, you and Money were at the combine, and man, I can't tell you, it was every day almost getting a new podcast from you guys, and all the interviews you did were so, so fun as a fan, just trying to get any information we could. What was that experience like? And did you glean any new kind of anything interesting that could happen for our team from that experience?
Well, we had a blast. I think our goal was to get 3 podcasts out there. We really wanted to kind of blow it out that week and get to talk to as many people as possible. And we talked to so many different people that we were able to do a bonus 4th podcast that week.
It was so awesome.
It was fun. You know, it's a fun time because everybody's there and you get a lot of different opinions and a lot of draft analysts that we spoke with. I think that the number one thing that I took from that is that at number 5 overall, And this was before the JJ McCarthy stuff really started to heat up. And, you know, it sounds like he could be a top four pick right now. But wide receiver is the most loaded position in this draft. And if you were to talk about the best overall players in this draft, they're wide receivers, probably starting with Marvin Harrison Jr. Now, he didn't participate in his pro day, and you can take anything you want from that. Some teams it may matter, some teams it probably doesn't matter at all. But it seems like there's this, I don't want to say confirmation, but the majority think that wide receiver is the best position in this draft, and guys like Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison are the best players in this draft. Then there's the, yeah, but you know what? Jim Harbaugh wants to run the football, and he wants to build a tough, nasty offensive line. And there's a lot of really good tackles in this draft, but are they generational, right? Marvin Harrison could be generational. So that puts the Chargers in this just really unique position, because I truly do believe Jim Harbaugh thinks that J.J. McCarthy's the best quarterback in the draft, and him promoting it not only helps J.J. McCarthy, it helps the Chargers, because you could have the number one overall pick among non-quarterbacks, and there are plenty of teams in the NFL set a quarterback that would probably love to have number five overall. Just because we hear about all the trade-ups for quarterbacks doesn't mean somebody won't trade up a la Julio Jones for a wide receiver. Like, if they see Marvin Harrison at number five, they're like, man, we can't pass up on Marvin Harrison. He's the missing link to our offense. What are they willing to give up? You know, and let's say that Arizona takes Marvin Harrison. Well, guess what? J.J. McCarthy's sitting there at five.
Yeah.
Who wants him? And what are they willing to give up? You know, so it's such a unique position for the Chargers. And I think that the talk at the combine was like, man, you could really give Justin Herbert. And this was before Keenan and Mike and any decisions were made. But it's like, imagine pairing up Justin Herbert with Marvin Harrison for the next 4 years, with Marvin Harrison Jr. on a rookie deal, like putting up all pro type numbers on a rookie deal, or Malik Nabers on a rookie deal. That's the economics and the business of this that I think sometimes gets lost, because it's natural for it to get lost. But, you know, if Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr., let's just say hypothetically they're on the roster this year and they put up numbers similar to Keenan Allen, well, guess what? Look at how much Keenan Allen would have cost on the cap versus how much a rookie costs on the cap. Sure. It's very different, you know, and those are the decisions that front offices are tasked with making that fans don't really have to worry about, you know, but it's about sustained success. So just a long-winded answer of saying, just the wide receiver talk really stood out to me at the combine, and the fact that there's a lot of high quality tackles, but there doesn't seem to be a consensus. It's like what's your flavor, right? Sure. Joe Alt has been a left tackle his entire career at Notre Dame. Chargers have a left tackle. Not to say he can't move to right. I'm sure he could. You hear about just the nastiness of a Fuaga.
Yeah,
you know, love him. There's just so many guys. The guy from the tackle from Washington really made some hay during Indy. So just a lot of conversations around that and what would make the most sense for the Chargers at five.
Yeah, the draft is going to be really interesting. And the idea that, and I've been talking with my brother a lot about this, is it's like the most valuable person on our team is Justin Herbert, and we need to protect him. I think that's the most important thing you can do, because if you give him time, you see what he does. It's incredible. You know, when he has time to pick apart what the defense is doing, it doesn't matter who's catching the ball. And even, you know, coach said it's the only position group that doesn't rely on anyone else. So, and he said that multiple times. I'm trying to sleuth my way into trying to figure out what we're going to do. He keeps bringing up the offensive linemen like every interview he's had. So I know there's kind of a divide in the fan base right now, what that looks like and what people want to do. But I think we're going to get better no matter what. So I think it's still just an exciting time to be, you know, picking at five. So then I wanted to ask you about, you know, he's got so many former players from Michigan coming into the draft right now. If you had to pick one of the Wolverines to be a Charger, who do you think would be the best? If you could only pick one, who would it be?
I think the corner, Sanders still. I think that's the guy. Like we were just talking about the DB's room, and it leaves a little bit right now to be desired, because they're just not there yet with the second and third wave of free agency and the draft. And I just feel like he would be the best fit because, you know, Jesse Minter's system right off the top, you're a rookie, but having knowledge of the system kind of puts you ahead of the pack. You feel an extreme need. You could talk about, Roman Wilson and Blake Corum and kind of the sexy positions, but I just think that the corner who could play nickel and do a lot of different things in the secondary, that guy makes the most sense to me.
Gotcha. And then in terms of like free agents of guys that we could bring in, because this is a different mindset we've had to shift to recently where we didn't have any money. We're like, okay, no free agents this year. We're going to kind of lock in with our guys. Now we have like an abundance. And even Ortiz said that, you know, he's going to look for trades during the season, which is something we haven't experienced in a very long time. So what do you think are some positions that would be good for us to kind of look at? Not specific players, but like a place you think we need to bring in to kind of bolster our roster?
Well, definitely just staying with the theme of corner, I think definitely continuing to add defensive backs to this room. I think defensive line, especially defensive tackle, and then also just positions. And I think this is maybe more geared towards the draft, is just trying to find positions where you may be good in 2024, but not in 2025. And I look at edge rusher as that number one position. Like, let's say you trade out of five and you get 11 and 23 and an extra third or whatever it is. At 11, what if Dallas Turner's there from Alabama and, you know, him and Thule are the future for the next 5 years after this year? But as far as free agency is concerned, I think continuing to find veterans that make sense, that are cost effective. Monday and I talked about J.K. Dobbins. I know he retweeted the news about him. Like, that's a guy who only had, I think, 100 carries since the 2020 season ended. And I know that, listen, when you sign somebody like that, it's a very big injury risk. But the sample size from 2020, I mean, he was averaging over 6 yards a carry and crazy, had like eight or nine touchdowns. So like those are the types of guys that I think Ortiz is familiar with, guys who I think can kind of bring that toughness and that hammer that you need in the backfield to go with a guy like Gus Edwards. Make no mistake, there's a lot of positions that they need to fill and they kind of need to remake. And I think that it starts in the trenches. I think you have enough guys on the offensive line, but do you have the Jim Harbaugh guys? That remains to be seen. But defensive tackle, especially, like, who can you get? You know, I said the corner 1A to me would be Chris Jenkins from Michigan.
Yeah.
That would be a guy that, like, you plug and play and let him go. And another one who's very familiar with the Minter scheme. So having that edge, like, man, like, if you have 9 or 10 picks, 2 or 3 of them, I feel like if they're Michigan guys, that's a good thing.
Yeah, and I love the Dobbins idea. And maybe you just need some warm weather, man. Baltimore's cold, and that'll mess up your joints. That'll mess up your stuff. So maybe just get him out here, get him with Ben Herbert, and get warm him up a little bit.
There you go.
So I'm all for that. But let's go out of here on this, man. Like, there's a lot of things, obviously, to be excited about for this upcoming season. But what do you think for, like, the fans? What do you think is, like, some of the most exciting stuff we have to look forward to this year?
I really just think the culture of winning and seeing that start to take shape, like Jim Harbaugh said, April 2nd. But seeing that develop and seeing just the different identity of this team and getting on board with it, because – It's going to be different. But I think if the fans can really embrace what the front office and what the team is trying to accomplish on the field, I mean, and that's winning. It's just winning, right?
Yeah.
So to see the formula for success, it may not be an air it out style, but like if you get up on an opponent, you know, that's another thing we just talked about. That I just did Chargers Weekly with Money, so some of the stuff that we talked about is very fresh.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, but we talked about just like the second half success. Money found a tweet from somebody that talked about just the average run versus pass ratio with Harbaugh in the second half versus the first, and it was obviously more run heavy in the second because you're protecting a lead.
Yeah,
you know, so I want fans to be excited about the culture that's being built and really just embrace what this team is going to be beyond 2024. I'm guilty of it like anybody. It's like when the new season's coming up, you're thinking about just that season and trying to win a Super Bowl and everything. But I think if fans take a step back and they say, wow, you know what? We got our head coach and I like the moves that we're making, and almost kind of take the long view of like, hey, you know, we're going to have a ton of cap room for 2025 and like get to know these new players, this remade tight end room, all these draft picks that are coming in. I think that's the most exciting part, is just this newness. It's not an expansion team by any stretch, but it's just like, it's a newness. It's a new way of doing things. And, you know, you have a guy who's, like I said, he's done it at every level. He's had success every stop he's had. And it's your guy. So embrace it and have fun with it.
Yeah, we're so excited. And we really appreciate your time, Chris. And we appreciate everything you do for us for the Chargers podcast and all the stuff you do at KCAL. I wish I lived closer to where I can get that broadcast. Like, I have to get your clips online, but everything you're doing over there is so awesome. So we really appreciate everything you do for our community.
Hey, man, no doubt. And same goes for you guys. You guys are killing it.
Thanks, brother. We'll talk to you soon. We'll catch up. We'll see what happens. It's going to be a wild time to be a Charger fan right now. So a lot of exciting things in the future.
Buckle up.
All right, man. Thank you.